The Apostle Peter says here, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. A verse that doesn't mean much to us today, but if you lived in Cameroon or Nigeria or up around Akron or up in Michigan today, it might be a little bit more of a concern to you, but to us doesn't mean much. But if you're surrounded by Muslim tribes that are warring against you and coming in the middle of the night, coming in between 11 and 2 a.m. in the morning like they do over in Cameroon and Nigeria, and come in there to pull a guy out of his house or to burn their house down or something like that and take him off and beat him and make an example of him, that might mean more to us. But we're not suffering anything like that in America. But he says, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers," even though you're not, but they'll talk about you like that, "they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you and accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing," right? Because if you suffer for evil-doing, you got it coming. "But it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing." But our verse for this message today is in verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." That's our text today. And notice that it comes in the context of living a righteous life before others in the midst of troubles that necessarily will come. But living a righteous life before others in the midst of troubles. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the Word of God. I thank you for each and every precious soul that's here. God, I thank you that you've given us another life, Lord, for the sunshine on our face, chance to get out of the house and to come and to worship you, and the safety and the security that we have, Lord. We trust that you are, God, are orchestrating every detail and every event of our lives. And we know that you are. We believe it. And Lord, our lives are in your hands. Our breath is in your hands. We owe everything to you. You created us. You sustain us. We worship you as Almighty God. We worship you as our Creator God. And there's not many people in this country that'll give you the recognition that you deserve as our Creator and will acknowledge that, Lord. But you got people all over this country, little churches like this, that still believe the Bible, still praying, still serving you and worshiping you and growing. And we pray that you'd bless them all over this country, Lord, and bless our time of worship today. We give you thanks for it. And Lord, be with the kids that we've mentioned that we minister to in this church. And Lord, I pray that each one of them would be saved before it's everlastingly too late. And Lord, we pray that you would bless this church and that we would grow spiritually, Lord, while we're seeing a little bit of a decline. Lord, that we would grow spiritually through the midst of it. Help us to do right. Lord, every man is going to give an account of himself to the Lord. No one's going to give an account for another. We've all got to give an account for ourselves. So Lord, help us just to grow and to do right. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So notice it says here, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Okay? This should be done daily. So the title of my message today is Your Daily Gospel Vitamin. Anybody take a daily vitamin? We do that with Lucas. We give him this gummy vitamin. It's elderberry. Anybody here take elderberry juice? Okay. Yeah, my mom got me on that, taking a spoonful of that, you know, to help your immune system. So we give him that vitamin. We have another one called Hi-Ya. And he looks forward to taking his vitamins. To him, it's like candy. And I'm getting to the point now where I think I need to start taking a daily vitamin, I think. I'm not sure about that, but I'm thinking about it anyhow. But it's important that we take our daily vitamins. Maybe you grew up in a home where maybe you drank that apple cider vinegar with the mother in it. That's kind of like a daily vitamin, I guess. A little shot of something to pep you up. But we need a daily gospel vitamin, and it's right here. And it says that we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. This is something we need to do before we set out for our day and before we do anything. Sanctify means to set apart. Simply means to set apart. But look at it. It says, sanctify the Lord God. How can we, sinful creatures, although saved by grace, sinners saved by grace, how can we sanctify God? God's already holy, isn't he? We can't make God holy. We can't improve upon his perfections. So how can we sanctify the Lord God? Well, he tells us specifically in your hearts. Do it in your heart. That means to set God apart inside of your hearts. God's proper place in our hearts, where God belongs, is on the throne of your heart. Inside of your heart, you have a throne. Now, it's not physical, but it's there. You have a throne, and someone is on that throne. It's either you or it's the Lord. And what we need to do is we need to enthrone the Lord. We need to step off that throne as a Christian and give him his rightful place. And it's something that we need to do daily. In the context here, like I was saying, it's talking about living a righteous life before others. We're supposed to live a sanctified life, set apart from evil. And it's not just that we're set apart from something, but we're set apart to something as believers. We are set apart to God to live a righteous life separated from evil in this world. But before we can ever do that, before a lost world and sometimes before a world that's persecuting you and hurting you for what you believe and threatening you and scaring you, sometimes what we need to do is we need to sanctify him in our hearts, is what he's saying. You know, our manner of life, it should be worthy of the kingdom of God. Paul tells us that. Peter tells us that. Walk worthy. Walk worthy of your calling. And so what he's saying here is that if you sanctify the Lord God in your heart, you will walk worthy of your calling before a lost and dying world. Because I can just tell you, like I was talking to a young man the other day, and I had tried to be a witness to him the best that I could, and I talked to him on a regular basis. He'd come around where I worked in this church. I was an assistant pastor and had a little office in the basement. He'd come and knock on the back door of the church building and come in there and talk to me all the time. And I didn't mind. I was glad to, and I'd just try to be a good witness to him. But he never was interested in accepting Jesus Christ. And the reason why I found out now was, it's always a heart problem. When someone doesn't want to trust Christ, it's really not a head problem. They throw up things to try to, throw you off the trail and confuse you and just to shut down the conversation. They try to put up some kind of an argument. But really, that's like a straw man. It's always a heart problem. And so it's usually there's some sinning that he's wanting to do, and getting saved means that you're not going to be able to do that. You know it instinctively. It's going to change your life. And so there's some sinning you want to do, and well, I can't do that, so I can't accept Jesus Christ. But then there's also other problems, and I think this is one of them, and this is something that I found out recently, that his problem was, is that he grew up in a religious family of the worst kind. And I told him, I said, religion won't do any good for anybody. You can do good, be good all you want, you're not going to go to heaven. Do everything, do nothing, it doesn't matter. Religion never saved anybody. I said, I'm talking about a relationship, a personal. Have you personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I gently talking to him about that, just so he understands what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about becoming religious. And so what he said was, I grew up in a Pentecostal home, and it was the holiness kind, and they were so strict, and they were so mean, and they were so nasty. And then I watched what they did, and they were hypocrites. You see what the problem is? I'm not saying those the Pentecostal folks aren't saved. They'll preach the gospel, and I believe some of them are saved, just like I believe some Catholics are saved, if they're trusting in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. They're trusting in that cross, they're saved. But we have a tendency to put people under a bunch of rules that doesn't make anyone holy. That's not how you do it, a bunch of rules. Baptists are good at doing that too, put you under a bunch of legalistic rules. And I had my belly full of that. I'm sick of that. I realize it don't work anyhow. You know what does work? Sanctifying the Lord God in your heart. Amen. Setting Him apart. It's a heart issue. You know, and if we are living the kind of life that we ought to live, walking worthy of the kingdom, then people out there are not going to have anything to say about us that would actually stick. They're still going to talk bad about you, but after a while, they're going to see your good works, and eventually they're going to glorify God. If it's not here, it'll be up there, and they'll glorify God before they're condemned for eternity. So we our job is just to walk worthy of our calling and try to be a good witness. We can't save anybody. We can't make anybody believe what we believe. God's got to do that. But how do we do it? Well, we got to take our gospel vitamin every day. We need that for spiritual growth. And so what does it mean to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts? That's my message. That's really the when you get right down to it. That's it. What does it mean? Because we got to understand how to do it. So I have several things here. Number one, honor the Lord as holy, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set Him apart. Honor Him as holy. And that's really that idea of enthroning Him on the heart, that throne in there. Guys, I'm talking about like a life of dedication, a life of separation. There's things that you got to separate from. It takes all of us time to realize that. But there's just things that you got to separate from that are just not good for you anymore. And that's not legalism. That's just smart. You know, there's just stuff. There's certain things. I'm not going to say what it is. But there's certain things that you know just takes your heart away from God. And it just, it doesn't have a good effect on you. And when that happens, you know, God will just kind of tap on your shoulder and say, hey, I want you to deal with this. This isn't helping you. This isn't drawing you closer to me. This is actually getting in between us. And God wants you to honor Him with your life. And He'll just say, I want you to deal with this. And I want you to be more dedicated to me. Guys, it could be something just as simple as this. God's saying, I just want to spend time with you. You're my child. You'll go day after day after day without actually really stopping to spend any real meaningful time. You're not talking to me. You're not letting me talk to you through my word. Stuff like that. Talk about a life of dedication. We honor the Lord when we do that. If your children don't call you for days, sometimes weeks, aren't you like, somebody needs to tell them that they need to call me and talk to me, right? They need to come see me. And if they don't do that, they're not honoring you, are they? No, they're not. That you expect to hear from your children. You want to see the grandchildren on Facebook or whatever, you know, however you do that. Maybe you do the live video call on Facebook. You want to see them and they don't call you. That's not honoring. No. And we teach children, how do you honor your parents? Because the Bible says honor your father and your mother. How do you do that? Well, you obey them. You obey your parents. Do what they tell you to do. Look at them in the eyes when they're talking to you. You know, you respond. If I talk to you, I expect you to respond to me. And you keep a good attitude and you give them hugs and you love on them and you just acknowledge them being there. Every once in a while, you say thanks. Thanks, Mom. That was a good meal. That was good. And that's honoring your parents. Well, the same thing's true with the Lord. The Lord wants us to honor Him. How do we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts? He's talking about honoring Him. You know the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, hallowed be thy name. Jesus told us when we pray, say, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed is the same thing as sanctified, same word. And so we're to pray that God's name would be hallowed. And if we pray that, God, I pray that your name would be honored in my heart. I pray that your name, the name just stands for everything that that person is. You got a good name in town, you got a bad name in town. It's just who you are, your reputation, what you can do, what you're known for, what kind of person you are. When you're saying, God, I want your name to be honored in my heart, I want your name to be honored in my home. God, I want you to be honored in this church. Lord, I want you to be honored. That's what you're saying. Honor the Lord as holy. That means get rid of the filth in your life that doesn't belong there and just keep doing right. What about your children? The Bible says that the children are sanctified in a Christian home even if they're not saved. What does that mean? Well, it means in a Christian home ought to be a clean place. Get saved, it cleans up your life. Again, I'm not talking about legalism, but I'm talking about you always knew the difference between right and wrong ever since you hit that age of accountability. You knew the difference between right or wrong, but now the things that you used to love, you don't love them anymore. And the things that you used to hate, now you love those things. And things have changed if you're a Christian. If it hadn't changed, I'd check your salvation. But it means when you get saved, you clean things up. Can I just tell you just for a minute? And I don't mean to glorify sin, but when I got saved, now guys, don't look at me and say, I can't believe he said that. How can he judge me? I'm not even talking about you. Okay? Talk about me. When I got saved, I looked like a lost person, okay? So my appearance changed. My attitude, my whole outlook on life changed. My clothing changed. And no one had to tell me to do it. It's just, I'm riding down the road listening to Alice in Chains or whatever, or listening to Pearl Jam and just having a good old time. And I'm telling you, I'm just as saved as any angel in heaven. And all of a sudden, the Lord just says, listen to what he's saying there. You know, listen to what he's saying. That's not true, is it? And I say, no, that's not right. And then, you know, I've got a cigarette hanging out the window. And the Lord says, well, you know, he didn't deal with the stuff all at once. He's saying that's hurting your body, you know, and you're ashamed to do it around your preacher. Why are you ashamed to do it around your preacher? It's because you got a bad conscience about it. And the Lord dealt with me about little things. The Lord dealt with me about being, you know, being a witness. Like I talked about in Sunday school, I was just really introverted. And I just like to just leave people alone. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And the Lord started dealing with me about being bold. Are you ashamed of me? Are you ashamed of me or something? And my life changed. And some of the stuff I used to watch on TV, you know, I took that stuff and pitched that stuff right in the trash. You didn't have to tell me. I knew I was sinful. A lot of the music listened to, Pink Floyd and stuff like that, that stuff's depressing and satanic. Causes a lot of people to kill themselves. Got rid of that junk. Got rid of the pipes and the bongs and the marijuana and the beer. And got rid of that stuff. And I'll tell you, people hear about that and they hear that's what you used to be like. And they start getting all self-righteous on you. Yeah, Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I am one. He died for the ungodly. You got to admit that you're ungodly before you can get saved. And you got to be lost before you can get saved. And good thing about my life is I knew that I was a sinner. Girlfriend that I had, I gave her my Bible. She didn't want anything to do with it. She loved her Wicca witchcraft junk, and she wasn't going to part with it. And so she said, hit the road. But when you clean up your home, it automatically cleans up your children's lives. You know, daddy's pornography magazines on the back of the toilet are gone. Can I just be just completely plain this morning? That's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. Yeah. You don't let kids just be on the tablet and use that as a babysitter anymore. Stuff changes. TikTok. Our government realizes that TikTok is dangerous. And I heard that Congress had voted to make it illegal in this country. And they're waiting on Senate, or it's the other way around. Yeah. They realize that's bad. Well, when you become a Christian, you start getting concerned about this stuff. Kids are killing themselves left and right. Well, what about the spouse? If you honor the Lord as holy in your life, it will automatically sanctify your spouse. And a husband, as the head of the house, is charged with the responsibility of sanctifying his wife, and not the other way around. Yeah, guys are supposed to clean up their lives, and in doing so, make their wife real happy too, and clean up the house. Honor the Lord as holy. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. It'd clean up your conversation too. If you sanctified the Lord God in your heart, you wouldn't enjoy gossip anymore and getting the dirt on people. You don't enjoy that anymore because you've experienced God's grace. Once you've experienced God's grace, you say, well, I'd have given enough grace to other people. Well, at least some. God's shown me so much grace, I'm not going to go around talking bad about people. I don't think the Lord would like that. I don't think that would honor the Lord. That would give a black eye to my church and drag the name of the Lord through the mud if I go around talking bad about people. You see, it cleans up your life when you honor the Lord as holy. If my son goes to school, if he goes to school and smacks some girl, spits on some kid, and steals a toy like kindergartners do, is that honoring me? Is that honoring my name? The name Westover, is that honoring me? No. Well, it's just the same as God's children. When we do things that aren't right, we're not honoring the Lord as holy. Number two, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Think of all the Lord means to you. That's the second thing I'd like to say. Not only is it honoring the Lord, but thinking about the Lord. We need to spend time thinking about all that He means to us, all that He is. Think about God is all wise. This is something that really was like a fresh like revelation to me last evening, over the last couple of days. If you think about it, God is all wise, God's all knowing, God's all powerful, there's nothing that He can't do. God is in control of our lives. He knows our thoughts afar off. He says that a man devises his way, but God directs your steps. God is in control of your life. He is bringing you to where He wants you to be. He's redirecting you. When you fall, He picks you back up, puts you back on track, and sends you down the track. God is righteous. God is love. God is true. All these things that God is. And because of that, because God is God and we're not, God's holy, you know, and we sin every day. Because all of this is true, and because God is the Lord, meaning that He's the judge of all the earth. And He says, all souls are mine. God says, all souls belong to me. And He's the judge of all the earth. And He says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord. Think of who He is. And so because of that, I have to in my prayers say, God, what I'm going through, don't understand it. And I don't really like it. Just to be honest with you, Lord. And He don't mind that. You should be honest with the Lord. I don't really like it. Or, God, this is hard. I don't think I can do it. Whatever it might be, you have to, after pouring your heart out to the Lord, just think about God's all wise. God's all knowing. None of this surprises Him. He's in control. He doesn't require you to be successful. He requires you to be faithful. The greatest ability is dependability. God just wants you to have stick-to-itiveness. Just stick with Him. He's going to bring you through it. If He has to, He'll carry you through it. And you think about all that, and you think even sometimes when it hurts, you have to remind yourself, God is loving. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. God cares about me more than I care about myself. God cares about my wife. God cares about my mom and my dad more than I care about them. And we have to just acknowledge he's all of these things. Because, guys, this is what will happen. Let's just say that for the most part, you don't struggle with the things that you used to struggle with when you were a younger believer. Depending on what you came out of, maybe you struggled with more than others. But now, as you get further on down the road with the Lord and you've lived some years on this world and you've gone through some things, there'll be things that come up in your life that will just cause you to get hurt and be disappointed and even discouraged, and will cause you to cool off on God. And I've seen people get out of church because they got hurt and they're no longer encouraged like this on a weekly basis, and they'll go days, and you know they do, I don't know this personally, I'm not God, but they'll go days, because I've been through it, and weeks without sanctifying the Lord God in your heart. And it was because you were hurt. And God knows all about it. And God allows it. And God's using it for our good. Even persecution, when we suffer persecution and we do it righteously and holding on to our faith and loving our enemies, when that happens, it causes our enemies to be converted. You see, we think the worst thing that could possibly happen to us is for us to get sick or die. And it's not. We think the worst thing that could possibly happen is for our economy to fail or for war to come to our country. But it's not. The worst thing that could possibly happen is for us to die and go to hell. But if you get saved and you're trusting in Jesus Christ, that's taken care of. You don't have to worry about that anymore. But, you know, over in Ukraine, I heard a report about Ukraine from an evangelist. It's a Jewish evangelist. He is a Jew himself and he's saved. And he's going over to Ukraine and witnessing to Jews there. And Jews are getting saved, quite a few of them. And he said in that country, it's so sad. He was interviewed by a local news station and they put him up there on the news spot and stuff like that, talking about the humanitarian aid that he's given to the people in Ukraine. But he said he went over there and took a group of people and he's going back. But he said it's awful. Their lives have been obliterated by that war. But he said this. He said, they are wide open to the gospel now. Whereas before they were hardened, they didn't want to hear it, they would not receive a witness, now they are wide open and they're getting saved left and right. So I ask you the question, which is more important? Peace and stability, or the salvation of your eternal soul? Or what's more important, that you learn to honor God even through troubled times, or that you don't honor God? Because sometimes God will put us through troubles to teach us to honor him and to grow us and to take something out of our life that is really hindering us. He'll put us through troubles. I don't like that any more than you do. But I know this, that we need to think of all he means. Remember that he is righteous. God is good. There is no doubt about it. God is good. He sent his only begotten son into this world on a rescue mission to save us from our sins, because he wants us to be with him forever in heaven. Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to be a substitute and take our place and take the penalty for sin, which is death. Death comes to all of us. We're all going to die. And the penalty of sin is death, and he took that penalty, and he took the eternal penalty, the punishment for sin against a righteous God. He took the punishment. He suffered all the hell that we would ever have to suffer on that cross, so that when we die, we can go to heaven. And so we can honor God with our lives. Think of the Lord. Think of all he means to you. Thirdly, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. When you think of him, then talk to him. And then acknowledge all that he is and all that he means in your life. I've had to do this recently and just acknowledge. I just got to say to God, God, I'm hurt. You know, not me specifically, I'm just giving an example. God, I'm hurt, or I don't understand, or this didn't work out, or my brother, his wife is suffering incredibly. She spent 5 days in bed in pain, not able to eat or drink. If she took a drink of water, she would be in excruciating pain and just scream out. She couldn't even drink water. God, my brother is just suffering through this. She's suffering through this. But I'm going to acknowledge that you are the great physician, that you are the healer, and that you're going to heal her from this. And she's going to have a perfect body, and she's going to be with you forever. And this is just a small time. And I'm going to acknowledge that this is hard, and I'm going to acknowledge that you care, and I'm going to acknowledge that the only person that can help me is Jesus, and turning to him for the grace that comes, grace to suffer, grace to go through trials, grace to answer questions, grace to just settle us, even though we don't have the answers, just to continue to trust God. How can you trust God through this? God's helping me. Grace. I acknowledge all that he is and all that he means in my life. Without him, I'm nothing. And fourthly, this should cause us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, to put him on the throne, be separate from evil. It should cause us to control our actions, to honor the Lord, to think of all he means, to talk to the Lord, and to control our actions. If there's something that he doesn't want you to do, like if there's just something that's not approved by Scripture, you just drop it. Just like that. That's what he wants us to do. Just drop it. If it's not approved by Scripture, don't do it and say, Lord, help me. Help me to control my actions. I won't give examples there, but for men, it's anger. For people who are frustrated and feel like, I want to be in control and I feel like my life is out of control. That means you want to be in the place of God and you can't. So you just have to drop that. You feel like you need to have control and you don't. Because when you're saying, I have to have control and I feel like it's out of control and I just won't live like this. And you have to just, I know that's not right because I know God's in control and I know he said, don't be anxious. I'm not supposed to be careful for anything. And right now this is just spoiling my peace and I'm going to let go of it. I'm going to drop it and just say, God, you're in control and I'm going to stop trying to figure it out. And I'm going to stop trying to plan my way and I'm going to stop trying to manipulate the situation. I'm just going to, because when God comes through, he just comes through just like that, you know. It's quick. Whenever God acts, it's just like bam, 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 bam. And he takes care of something and you're just like, I can't believe that. I didn't think there was any way possible. I didn't even see that. And he fixed that too. That's the way God is when we trust him. But sometimes he's got to take us to the point to where we lose control of our actions and we fall and he has to pick us back up and set us back. That's part of discipleship. Controlling, but we are responsible for our actions. Like I said, we will give account of ourselves, of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. That's not to see if we're going to go to heaven. That's what happened back at the cross. If you're in good with Jesus, you're in good with God, period. Okay? But we're going to give an account of our actions. I think about that a lot as a husband and as a dad. Number five, and lastly, be well prepared. So be well prepared for every assembly of believers. This is where church comes into this. Church helps us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and to learn how to do it and how important it is to be reminded of heaven on earth in our hearts. Be well prepared for church, for the assembly of believers. That'll help us to control our actions. That'll help us to continue to talk to the Lord, to think of all that he means. We learn about what the Lord means and all that he is at church, and to honor the Lord as holy. The church helps us. God uses the church. God uses scripture that's preached at church, and he'll use that in our private daily life and remind us of a scripture and say, now don't forget about that today. Be well prepared for every assembly of believers. You know, when we come here, part of the reason is that we want people to be saved. We preach the gospel. And then after they get saved, we want them to obey the Lord in following him in believer's baptism. Well, in order to be saved, got to preach the word. Order to be baptized, got to show them from the word of God that baptism is only for believers. And it's for, therefore you have to be old enough to believe to be baptized. And that when you do that, the Lord wants you to do that and confess Christ openly and God's pleased with it. And then you learn how to follow the Lord. You can't follow the Lord until you're baptized. That's the first step. And then you learn how to follow the Lord and how to grow. And you come to church to learn this. And you learn, just by exposure to it, how to study it and what it means. That's why I preach like this. I preach like this because I got so tired of coming to church and feeling like, man, I didn't even need to bring my Bible today. I didn't even use it. And I got questions. What does this mean? What does that mean? So I always just said, when I preach, I am going to explain what it means. And I want to preach it too. But I got tired of just coming to church and just hearing a message. It just sounded like that preacher just came up with that in his head. I mean, it might have been good, but it really wasn't Bible preaching. And so that's why I do it like that. But being well prepared for church, that means that you're in fellowship with the Lord. You're walking with the Lord. You're coming intentionally to church. The husband should say to his family, dad should say to his family, we're going to church. That's our plans. When I make my calendar out, the first thing I do is, well, Sunday morning church. I'd like to say Sunday night church. Come to the weeknight meetings. Wednesday night church. When people fall out of the weeknight meetings, that's a sign of backsliding and moving away from the Lord. Now, it's not always that, because you're not always able to, because of distance. Some people up in New England have to travel 100, 200 miles just to get to a Bible-believing church. It's not like it is down in North Carolina or something around here. Got to travel miles. So they're not always able to come back for an evening service. Some things, you know, can't drive at night. There's reasons. I understand that. But if you can, come to those. Those weeknight meetings are important. Man, we've been having a good time. We had a good time Sunday night and Wednesday night this last week. And you come to church on Sunday morning, you're wondering, what's going on with this church, man? But we're just having a good time on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You might be more encouraged if you did come. Now, you see, I do preach. I don't just teach. But being well prepared, it's just saying God's first in my life. Therefore, I make sure that got this on the calendar, got that on the calendar. And I understand work and health and things. Sometimes you just need to take a little vacation. I understand all that. But God is first, and I am prepared. I didn't stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning watching the blue screen, you know. No, I prayed for church on Saturday. I got up on Sunday morning. I read my Bible, and I prayed for the services. I've been working on somebody trying to bring them to church, and I'm going to call them and say, hey, can I come by and pick you up? Or maybe we'll go out to lunch. If you just want to drive separate, we'll go out to lunch afterwards. You're prepared for it. You're ready. You're ready to learn. And guys, we could come to church and just say, that's wrong. I don't like that. That's not the way we used to do it. It's a little too warm in here. A little too cold in here. I don't like the music. We don't have any music. Where are the kids? We could do that and not have a good time. But I learned this. All I have to do is change my attitude. And that makes all the difference. Amen. I had to do that for myself. I'm preaching to me. I remember doing that, coming to church. I mean, I was in this awesome Bible school in this great church down in Pensacola, and I come back to Ohio to this little church. Not this one, the other one that I was in. And it's not all the excitement. And I had to just tell myself, you know what needs to change? It's not this church, it's my attitude. Well, I better stop preaching and wrap this thing up, huh? Let me ask you these questions. Do you pray, like, for yourself or for someone else maybe, without first sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts? Because we'll do that. We'll pray. We'll come to church. We'll get up and we'll pray in church or one thing or another. And we can do it without sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. You see, you need to do that before you ever pray. You need to honor him, make sure you're honoring him with your life. Think of all he means, acknowledge who he is, and be in control of your actions, be well prepared for the worship services, be actually plugged in and actually a real living, vital part. Your church is important to you. All that stuff is important to sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts. But we can act and do a lot of things. We might do some good deed in the community and do it without sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. Yeah. We could witness even. We could speak to someone about our beliefs. And we could do that without ever sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, because we can just walk in the flesh. We can just do things in the flesh because we know how to sound Christian. We know these things that we're supposed to do. We can do all that without sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. How many times do we start the day without first sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts? What I'm saying is that we need to just make sure that we do this before we start the day. Make sure that the Lord is in his rightful place on the throne in our hearts. Because I know this, we can set out for the day and we're not even considering God's place in our life and in his rightful place. So we need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Would you stand with me and would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We'll have a word of prayer and just want to give some privacy as we have prayer. And I'm going to give an invitation. And I want to say this morning that the gospel is good news. Amen. Good news about Jesus Christ and his love for us. He wants us to be with him in heaven. But in order to understand the good news, we've got to understand the bad news. And the bad news is that all have sinned and our sin separates us from the holy God. But God did something to take care of that sin. And that's when Jesus came and as our substitute died in our place on the cross. And he stands with open arms now, willing to receive anyone who would be willing to turn from going their own way and turn to God and place your faith, your trust in Jesus. Now that means that you're trusting in Jesus for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's not the same as saying, I believe in Jesus and I think that if I do the best I can that I'll get to go to heaven. Nope, that won't save you. You've got to say, I believe in Jesus as my only hope. He's my only hope, and I'm going to cling to him. He's going to forgive me of all my sins. He's going to give me eternal life if I just accept him into my heart. If you haven't done that, if you've never trusted Jesus like that, I invite you to do that. I invite you during this invitation just to step out of your seat and just to come forward. And in saying, in coming forward, you're saying, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. And if you'll do that, I'll just have you take a seat on the front row and we'll sit down and talk and I'll take a Bible and I'll show you how easy it is to trust in Jesus Christ and show you right from the Bible so you can see it for yourself. If you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to do that today. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, no one looking around or anything. If you've already trusted Jesus as your Savior, you know you have it settled. Would you mind raising your hand for me? I have it settled, Pastor. I know it. I know I have it settled. And now, if you say, I don't know that I have it settled, and I want to make sure, I want to get it settled today, would you raise your hand? Preacher, I want to get it settled today, just between me and the Lord. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Father, we pray that you'd bless this message to our hearts, Lord, as we go forward throughout this week. Lord, that you'd help us to take this gospel vitamin every day to make sure that you're the one that's on the throne of our hearts and that you're the one making the calls and that we're living a life that's honoring and pleasing to you. And if it's not, Lord, it just takes a few minutes to get it straightened out and then to just to do right. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do this and to suffer through the troubles in this life in faith, knowing that, God, you're taking care of it. We don't understand anything, everything, Lord, and I will not pretend that it's easy because it's not. But, God, we know that it's so much better going through life with you. You help lift the burden. Lord, it's so good to be saved, so good to be a Christian, and, God, to have you helping us through all of this. And so we're grateful for that this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd bless as we dismiss, give us safety, and bring us back at the next appointed time if we're able, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.